Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the sixth Sunday of the year.
If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. There's a story of a man, a great explorer and hiker. He was doing some rock climbing and he fell. The rocks gave way and he was pinned under a rock. He was there for a long time, and nobody came, and he was just stuck. He eventually realized that there was no way out. He would be forgotten. He grabbed a small pocket knife with his free arm, and he cut off his arm that was trapped. Despite unspeakable pain, he completed the task in order to survive. He wrapped the wound and found his way to the road, and then he managed to find help. He survived, and he lives. When Jesus speaks of cutting off limbs, is he asking us physically to imitate the man who survived the rock climbing experience and disaster? You'll be glad to know that the priest doesn't have the guillotine at the back of the church at the end of Mass, to cut off sinful parts. What Jesus is calling us to is not self-mutilation, certainly not. He speaks figuratively here, but does that mean then it's just rhetoric, and it's all right, a nice story, a useful bit of advice? No, he does speak with incredible bluntness. Hard, surprising words. So let's not be blasé about these words. He speaks of spiritual danger, spiritual death, something far more serious than even physical death. Can we be pinned under a rock, so much so that we have to cut ourselves away in order to be saved? This isn't about sin itself, but that which causes us to sin, that which traps us in sin, what we call traditionally occasions of sin. Saint Alphonsus Liguori tells the story of how the devil once confessed, through the voice of a man being exorcised, that of all the sermons, the one he hated most was that about avoiding occasions of sin. So here goes. The great spiritual doctors of the church remind us of the duty of every Christian to avoid occasions of sin. What are they? Occasions of sin are external circumstances, things or persons, that incite or entice one to sin. We're called by the Lord to avoid such occasions, particularly those occasions which seriously and powerfully drag us down into serious sin, which is spiritual disaster. He who loves danger will perish in it, the scriptures say. Regarding these dangerous occasions, causes of sin, our Lord calls us to act, and to act decisively, because there is so much at stake. It's better to lose one part, he tells us, than for our whole body to be lost. Sometimes we have to give something up in order to save something. Sometimes a limb has to be sacrificed to save the rest of the body, even in medical procedures. It's the same with the soul. What do we need to give up, surrender, let go, in order to save our souls? Such spiritual amputations are required specifically for those occasions which lead us to mortal sin, those sins like sins against holy purity or the grave insult we give to God by choosing petty things above him in casually missing Mass on a Sunday, or the destroying of someone's reputation by slander. These kinds of sins, these are the ones which sever our souls from Christ. Beware of scruples here, though. Let's be clear about it. We're not speaking of all possible things that may perhaps lead to temptation, but those things which certainly do drag us down, and will drag us down. Temptation will come, but woe to the one who deliberately sets himself up for spiritual ambush. Temptation is not a sin in itself, but to deliberately put ourselves in a situation where we're very likely to succumb is itself sinful. When we go to confession, as we must, we have to be honestly striving to give up the sins that we have, and that includes those things that necessarily drag us down into sin. In his marvellous fictional book, The Screwtape Letters, C.S. Lewis shows how a demon called Wormwood ingeniously seeks to destroy a particular soul. Although a humorous work, this story gives us great truth. The man, originally called the client, sins and then repents, but keeps returning to the same sin as if in a perpetual cycle. This is because he never thinks to address the reasons and causes for his falling into that sin. How many of us have found ourselves confessing the same sins over and over again? One of the reasons for our lack of progress is quite simply because we fail to tackle the real occasions of sin. To be tough on sin, as our Lord would have, we have to be tough on the causes of sin. And the occasions that bring about sin, almost like clockwork, are the first things we must address. Let's face it, and it's hard for our pride to do so, we're not as strong as we think we are. We're not as strong as we think to resist all sins in all situations. The occasions matter, and it is to these that we must turn. What might the occasions of sin be for me, for you? To answer this, we need good self-knowledge. Naute sauton, know thyself, says the Oracle of Delphi. The situations of sin will vary from person to person. In speaking of hands, feet, and eyes, perhaps our Lord is referring to certain things we do, certain paths we travel, and the things we allow ourselves to look upon. We have to be prepared as Christians to cut these things out if they lead us to sin. The occasions or situations of sin which call for attention may be a particular place that we visit. It may be a particular person. This person may be an inevitable cause of our falling. The place may be the inevitable occasion where we lapse. Our past record proves it. Perhaps it is a particular group of people who lead us into sin. Maybe at work, in college, or at school. Or we're pressured to be in a group that leads to sinful conformity. Sometimes it's just a particular combination of people who have a disastrous effect upon one another. There's a joke that priests are always wonderful when they're on their own, but when you get them together, they're a complete disaster. Sometimes certain groups of people in certain places, certain combinations, will lead me to drunkenness or lurid conversation or whatever. Often it's in viewing a powerful medium of film or television or unmonitored and guarded curiosities on the internet that we inevitably lapse. If you know the statistics of the number of people who do fall into sin through the temptations on the internet, you would be horrified. Some situations are just downright dangerous for everyone, and at all times. Each must examine him or herself to discover whether any spiritual amputations need to take place in order to save our souls. Just as the recovering alcoholic has to avoid any alcohol, so often we must avoid an occasion of sin altogether because we have a definite known weakness. If in doubt, err on the side of caution. Imagine walking along a path where you know that the cliffs may fall and the sign says, "Sometimes walking this way leads to death." Would we walk? Let's beware of the "how far can I go" mentality. Apart from being an ungenerous way of following God, this way of thinking is foolish. Our lives already in this world are close to a kind of precipice. We don't want to deliberately stand on the very edge. Our safety, our fulfillment, and our happiness lie straight ahead of us, and they're guaranteed so long as we keep our eyes on the Lord and follow him faithfully. As well as self-knowledge and a willing heart, all this takes self-control, self-denial, and self-discipline. It may seem hard, but everything worthwhile in this world needs the same. There may come a time in our lives when we do have to walk a most perilous road of temptation without choosing it. And it's only if our hearts have been faithful over the duration of our journey, only if we've been able to build up the quality of our resistance, will we have the strength of character and the grace to pass through those burning flames. We must put our souls first. These are the matters that last forever. A man shouldn't risk his soul for anything, certainly not for mere convenience, laziness, fear of losing the respect of others. It's better to enter heaven lame, blind, crippled. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.